I'm going to be reading from the Message again. It's one of my favorite versions of the Bible. And I'm going to be reading from Mark. Whoops, I got last week's. All right, let's try again. I still am going. Anyway, I want to give you a little introduction to Mark. When I looked at this scripture I was reading, I was drawn to think, so what did Mark have to do with all of this? Well, Mark was there. He heard Christ talking, and he was so excited about it that this is the way they kind of described Mark in the introduction. Mark wastes no time in getting down to business. A single sentence introduction, and not a digression to be found from beginning to end. An event has taken place that radically changed the way we look at the experience. In nearly every sentence he writes, the sooner we get the message, the better off we will be. For the message is good, incredibly good. God is here, and he's on our side. And Mark writes, but the exact day and hour, no one knows that, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father. So keep a sharp lookout, for you don't know when. You don't know the timetable. It's like a man who takes a trip, leaving his home and putting his servants in charge, each assigned a task and commanding the gatekeeper to stand watch. So stay at your post watching. You have no idea when the home owner is returning, whether evening, midnight, cockcrow, or morning. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. I say it to you, and I'm saying it to all. Stay at your post. Keep watch. This is the word of our Lord.
Yes, please be seated. This is the time in the service when my job gets easier, because what these two people are going to do is something that I couldn't do. I'm actually just going to be the moderator, facilitator, agitator, whatever word you want to put on it. But anyway, our topic today is noticing God. Now, this is something I can do on an individual basis. Matter of fact, I do. I can sit down by myself and address God and you know, thank him for something he has done for me. And also, I'm not afraid to admonish him for not maybe intervening in a situation where I thought probably he would or could. And then on the other side of the coin, I wonder if God is noticing me. Sometimes when I sit there and I think I've done something really good, I wonder if God really noticed. Or by the same token, if I did something I shouldn't do or something I should have done and didn't do, I kind of hope that he wasn't watching in that situation. But anyway, I really respect someone that's able to come up and do these what they're doing. This also affects me in prayer. I can read a written prayer in front of hundreds of people and feel very comfortable. But if someone asks me in the spur of the moment to deliver a prayer for one or two people off the top of my head, I'd be scared stiff. I can't do it. I really admire Karen Zobel and Barry Glick because they're called on alternately in our choir to deliver a message before we sing. And it seems like they always seem to come up with the proper, comforting, inspirational words. And I really appreciate having those people there. I don't know what these two people are going to be saying today, but the format that we're going to use, we'll have each one of them speak, And then after they do, we might let them, maybe they might have some discourse between themselves, or maybe you people might have some questions or comments to make. And maybe, even if the Spirit entered into you guys, maybe I'll give you a short chance to share some of your ways that you've noticed God. So our first speaker today is going to be Brian. Like I say, I don't know what they're going to say, but I've known these two individuals for a long time, and I know what they'll say is going to come from the heart. Thank you.
Good morning. So my little part of this of the proceedings this morning starts about 2 weeks ago when Pastor Jenny sent an email and asked if I noticed God and had anything to say today. And my hands got all sweaty, and I got a little, you know, heartbeat going there. And I thought, oh, no, this isn't good. I just did a children's message last week. This shouldn't be hard. So I sat there, and I thought, and couldn't think of when I noticed God recently. And so I sent off a quick Skype message to Mary Jo, and her answer came back with two or three examples of where she saw God. And so my hands got sweaty, and my heart kind of sped up again. And so I started thinking, well, what I need to do is maybe do a little praying, talk to Pastor Jenny, and kind of see where this leads me. So last week, I did chat with Jenny, and, you know, she had some things for me. And Melinda happened to be walking through the room at the time and overheard. And so she sent me an email and had some scriptures and some things to share with me. And because I'm educated as a scientist now a long time ago, what I think of is physics. And so what came to my mind was a scientific theory and an experiment from early 20th century quantum mechanics or physics. And the theory is called the quantum superposition theory, which very simply states that things exist in multiple states. And until you measure it or observe it in some way, they exist in all of these states, and then it collapses into one state and takes on this single state. And, oops, I gotta get my little cookie thing. The thought experiment that this reminded me of is probably something you've all heard. Don't worry, this is not a real product, and this is a thought experiment, so no cats were harmed. So Schrodinger's cat is the name of the thought experiment. And what it is you take a cat, live cat, stick it in a box along with a vial of poison and a hammer that will crush the vial depending upon the decay of a radioactive particle. And over the course of the experiment, you don't know. It's a 50-50 chance whether that particle decays and strikes the vial and kills the cat. So kind of silly on this thing. It says cat status, alive and dead, are both checked. And so that's really what this thought experiment was about, is this superposition theory didn't make any sense because you can't have a cat that's both alive and dead. And so, you know, until you open the box, you don't know. So it sort of exists in these two states. So what's my point in all of this? God doesn't work that way. And this was, you know, some things that Melinda had talked to me about. It's not a requirement of God's work in the world that we observe it. He does stuff, he does his thing, whether we're noticing it or not, and whether we're actively not looking for whatever reason, or we're simply too busy to notice things going on, to notice God around us. They're there. And for me, the important part of that is, you know, God sent his son to help us with this sort of thing. Wandered in the desert for 40 years, so we're in pretty good company. And that there's people in our lives all around us who remind us of these sorts of things. And, you know, we have Lent to kind of take some time out and figure out why we're not noticing God if we're not noticing God, and then notice him. So I guess that's my message this morning. Turn things over to Denise.
Okay. No, I try couldn't ignore the email that came that said, Chaos, we need help leading this worship service. And I thought, well, if I just don't say anything, you know, somebody else will speak up. Well, Brian did, and I thought, great, good. Well, then, apparently nobody else did either in Chaos, where the rest of you. And so I get an email from Jenny, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday, just like point blank asking me. And I really, really couldn't say no. I just thought about, I've had a lot of God sightings here in the last couple months in particular, and I thought, how can I not share those? But I didn't have the advantage of Melinda and them helping me on this. I did not see them in the meantime, so please bear with me. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Denise Cartwright. We've been in Tipton for a little over 25 years now. My kids went to school here, and my husband is up in the balcony. But my family is from other parts of the state. My mom and stepdad lived in Arkansas for the last 16 years. And for those of you, some might be aware or not, the last couple months have been very, very hard for my family. My stepdad has been suffering with several forms of cancer. My uncle, same thing, same bone marrow cancer, same age. He would be 71 this month. My stepdad would have been 70 a week ago. And so we've, and then being down in Arkansas just made it very difficult. They're there by themselves, so my siblings and all took turns going down to help them. And you know, he's been in and out of the hospital and nursing homes. It's just been very, very difficult. And towards the end of one God sighting, I guess about 6 months ago, is my youngest son and his girlfriend offered to uproot their lives and move to Arkansas so that they could stay and help take care of my stepdad so that they could stay there in their home. And so that worked fairly well. And the last weekend in January, my sister and brother-in-law and I went down to Arkansas. My stepdad had said two things that he would like to do before he passed was go home and see, they live on a little lake, beautiful, beautiful spot. He'd like to go see the lake again. And he would like to, I don't know how he put it, but touch and smell a horse. He was a national national reining champion several years ago. And if any of you are horse people, you know just what a huge accomplishment that is. And he raced horses. My family raced horses. And we've known my stepdad since we were young, too. So I could totally relate to that. And so at one point, my sister had asked a neighbor down the road that had a couple horses if we could stop. And they were just coming. Nah, he didn't think so. What? Okay. You know, so we went back down that weekend, that last weekend in January, and with the goal to get Gary home to see the lake, and to see if we couldn't find a horse somehow that we could either bring to the nursing home or care center. And my brother-in-law says, well, you know, there's that riding stables on down the road, I don't know, only about 5-8 miles, I'm not sure. And so we drove there and went up and knocked on this huge barn and told him, and the guy said, sure, come on back this afternoon, that'd be fine. So we went back to the nursing home and said to my stepdad, who was by this time getting, I mean, we could tell this was getting close to the end, and said, we're going to take you on a field trip. And so we were able to get it. The nursing home was great. We could wheel him out, get him in the car. It all went well. Drove to this big riding stables, and it's not just your typical riding stables. The barn was huge, and all these fenced in acres with horses. And so, of course, Gary had no idea where we were going. We get up there, and he's a very emotional guy. He's either crying or laughing for the most part. So, of course, the tears start right to begin with. And let's see now if I can operate this. Okay, so there's a picture. That's actually in the tack room. Okay, let me go back to that. And for those with horses, there's just a smell. There's a smell. I mean, I love dogs, but I'm sorry, dogs. Dogs smell, and even cats can be stinky, but a horse, there's just something about that horse smell. I don't know how to explain it, but you can see the smile on his face. He was just grinning from ear to ear the whole time, and the gentleman that owned the stables, his name was Rusty Waters, I'd say probably mid-40s, just a character. He and my stepdad would have enjoyed a huge friendship if they had gotten in touch with each other earlier. But this barn was beautiful, just awesome barn, and showed us everything, brought out this horse that was a, literally they turned down a $50,000 offer for this horse that was this Pinscher that was just breathtaking. And Gary was able to just wheel him right up. He could rub him. The horse at one time nuzzled him and licked his head. I mean, it was just, it was very, very cool. So this picture is me and my son Matthew and his girlfriend Allison. My mom is in front of me, my brother-in-law, my sister's holding the horse, and my stepdad is in the middle. And this wasn't the Pinto, this is not the $50,000 horse, but this horse was so sweet. Just, they, you know, animals have a sense. And so he thoroughly enjoyed the day. We were there for probably over an hour, which is a long time for him, and just had a ball. Just, it was so good for all of us. I don't have the picture, but there's one, my mom, with a great big grin on her face, too. It just was a wonderful afternoon. And after we left then, we went back to the house, and so he got to see the lake, got to see his little puppy. It was just an awesome afternoon, even though we knew this was just such a respite, just such a breath of relief and absolutely a God sighting. I mean, just no other way to put it. And it was a long God sighting. It was like for an hour and 15 minutes at least. So then we headed back to the nursing home. Am I going the wrong direction here? I know. Oops. Don't need cat litter. Okay. Back at the hospital, that's Allison, Matthew's girlfriend, and you can see this, you know, just the love in the room, just to be there and visit him. He just appreciated us being there so much. So from that God sighting, the next week then was the Super Bowl, and I was actually here for church that Sunday. It was the chili cook-off. And for 6 weeks, starting from this weekend, we went to Arkansas. The next weekend was the Super Bowl, and then the four following weeks, I was not at worship. I said, I think that was the first time since, like, from age 18 to 28, when I took like a decade off there. That is the most I've missed church since we started attending here, so it felt really, really awkward not to be here. But the support that I felt from here, Gary passed away just a little over a week past this weekend, like a week from that next Monday. And then we turned around and came back to Arkansas. And I have a gig on Wednesday night that Melinda leads. And that Wednesday night, as we're getting ready to leave for the funeral, I did not go out that night. You know, you're stressed and you're sad and you're... And all of a sudden, the sense of peace just kind of came over me. Just kind of relaxing sense of peace. And I looked at my watch. And it was 7:30, and I knew that my gig was praying for me. There was just no question in that, you know, at the end of our gig. So that just felt awesome. That was a God sighting for me. And then when I was gone, people that filled in, Niffer covered with choir kids, and Melinda, and Dee, and Circle, and Cookies, and I had a lot of duties during that time, and just God sightings everywhere, that people were just so willing and did so competent and did such an awesome job that I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to think about it. During the service, I do have another picture. We received, one thing that's different in Arkansas, they don't really send flowers for funerals and visitations, but our friends, sister and myself, and so there were flowers there from Iowa and out of state, and so this was some from good friends, and it just meant so much to be remembered and to know that support was there, and the cards I received and the prayers, so that was really awesome. On the way back, I got sick. I was sick for like a week and a half, the longest I've been sick in my life. God says my husband bringing me 7-Up and Jell-O and anything else I asked for, and not complaining, and took very good care of me. And then that next weekend, my uncle passed, and That's my mom's brother. He had been sick this whole time, too. Was sad because she wasn't able to go and see him while he was sick. But, and, you know, of course, my favorite uncle. And so we trekked to Northwest Iowa in that blizzard a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago. But the God sightings there, you know, it's sadness, but yet you see friends and family that you have not seen literally in years. To backtrack, Gary's children for the past 16 years have kind of been out of sight. And like at Thanksgiving time, the son came because we've called and said, hey, guys, this is it, you know. And they did come, were there, so they were in time. They got to spend a little bit of time with him. There was some reconciliation there. Even though it was kind of hard for me, that definitely was a God sighting. Definitely for my stepdad, he needed that, and for them too. So that was a pretty heavy thing that happened, and our family was just, it was hard to understand, but it was heartwarming that they came together at the end, even though I don't quite understand what the last 16 years were about, but at least they got to reconcile. When my uncle passed, my cousins, they'd been a falling out over something just ridiculous a few years ago. Well, they came back and reconciled and said, hey, at the end of the day, we're all family, and that's what's important. So, let's see. I had a list. Make sure I didn't forget anything on it. Cards and flowers, friends, you know, people showing up with sandwiches just at the right time when you need it. And then to come back last Sunday, oh, my gosh. The well wishes and the, oh, we've missed you, and the hugs. Adam coming up and just giving me a spontaneous hug. Now, that was a God sighting for me, you know. So when I look at my church family, you guys are just a big God sighting, just all the way around. So, hugs was the last thing, Adam. So I think I've covered most of what I wanted to say about God sightings. I mean, you know, when you look around, I see God sightings all the time. That's what I try to look for. And during this last 6 weeks, I didn't have to look for them. They found me. So I guess that's what I have to say about God sightings.